Jon Stewart is back at The Daily Show, which means he's also back in our ears on The Daily Show Ears Edition podcast. Listen to The Daily Show Ears Edition wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to Comedy Central.
Hey guys, welcome to the U Up Podcast, the daily edition during this quarantine time. I'm giving you a little mini podcast every day. Thank you so much for your feedback that you've been enjoying them. It makes me like excited to do them in a way that you don't even understand. So thank you for the DMs. I've gotten them and it makes me feel so good that you're listening every day. I've attempted to do this podcast like five times today because I was driving to Starbucks to get my fix. Yes, I did go to Starbucks. Yes, you guys, you were with me yesterday when I tried to go and then I saw the line was too long and I said, fuck it, I'm not going to be one of these lemmings who's just addicted to coffee and making these people work even though their job, this isn't an essential thing. And then today I pulled up, the line was even longer and guess what? I waited in it and I got my coffee. They were out of almond milk. It was kind of devastating. I said, you know what? Don't give me the three coffees because I was getting three because I was going to stock up so I could have them for the rest of the week. I said, give me one. I'll take it with the oat milk. And then I gave them a $100 bill to tip because fuck, that line was so long. Dad, my dad joins us here in his office that I've taken over as my recording studio slash you called it an opium den because I'm actively smoking pot in front of you around every corner.
Hey, I would have made you a pot of coffee for a $50 tip.
I know. That's the thing. I felt so weird about going in there that I couldn't not tip. There was just that's all. If I had a $50 bill in my Well, I would tip $50, but all I had was $100 and I wasn't going to be like, may I have 50 back? And guess what? If that's the least I can do is pay, like have these kids each go home with 10 extra dollars today. That's like, that's a nice thing to spread. And that's I got my fucking fix. I felt good. Chugged it down.
It all comes back. That's very nice.
I don't know that it all comes back. I should be holding on to it as tight as possible, but
you should.
It just felt good in that moment. Like, I don't know. I was able to, let's say they split it between 10 people. I'm able to make 10 people feel a little bit.
Yeah, those things are legendary. I mean, I used to be a bartender. When you get a big tip like that,
yeah,
it reverberates through the whole place.
Yeah.
You never forget it.
So yeah, it means so much. I love giving good tips. If you are able to afford it, it's a great feeling to give those out. And if you don't get the validation that you want, you can just pull it back out of their hand. You wait for that. You wait for them to see their reaction. The guy had a great reaction too.
Did he?
Good. Which I don't depend on when I give gifts. I try to let go of that and not control that, but he had a good one.
Did he? What did he do?
He was just like, oh my God, really? And I was like, yes, thank you for working. He was like, oh my God, because he was apologetic about the almond milk situation before he knew he was getting a tip. He was like, we're so sorry. And I was like, dude, don't worry. I was like, it's totally fine. And he was like, I can give you a refund on that, ma'am. And I'm like, okay, that's fine. I just scanned the thing. And then he was just very like, oh my God, because there was a measly like $2 in the tip jar. And so I just handed him it because I didn't even want to throw it in. But that line was like, Dad, I've never seen a line that long for a drive-through. People are like,
people jonesing. Can't go in, so they're going through.
But a week and a half ago, that line was, there wasn't a line. I was the only one there.
People were still going in a week and a half ago, probably.
People don't go in. They use the drive-through if they can. That Starbucks, I swear to God, was dying before this pandemic.
Drive-throughs, all the carbon being burned for nothing.
Yeah, you don't like the carbon thing.
Yeah, engines running, burning fuel. It just makes me mad. But
yeah.
I do use them every once in a while.
You do? Yeah, for what? For salsa?
No, because I'm just
there's a Mexican restaurant that has a drive-thru. Oh, so you do use them for... What are you doing with the mic there? You're swirling it around a lot.
I'm like Roger Daltrey from The Who. Tom McKenna.
yeah, are you... yeah, you just called my... your office, I'm calling it my office now, I'm really taking over in here, an opium den. I was just thinking about how like smoking weed is just, I cannot believe I could just do it in front of you now when it used to be like the scariest thing to ever even maybe smell like it. You'd spray perfume on it. Like I used to hide the shit from you guys so much and now it's just like,
I remember the
whatever.
First time we smoked together was in Costa Rica.
Oh, it was?
Yeah.
Oh, that was a fun trip.
Yeah, it was.
2000.
We all kind of crossed over. 2005
5 to 6.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
We
yeah.
bought the property in 2005, 2000. Yeah.
Yeah.
Around there. You know, there used to be in the Cincinnati Art Museum, there was an actual opium den that somebody bought over in I forget what country it came from, but it was an actual exhibit in the downstairs part of the museum. It was kind of a lonely part of the art museum.
Yeah.
And I had the bold idea when I was in high school. I said, we got it, because it was, they had ropes around it and you couldn't get near it, but there was an open window on one side and it had this beautiful little brass table in the middle with all these cushions around it. And I had the bold idea to get a pack of top papers. And so we all went down there, and it was, wasn't that crowded that day. And I just made a...
What are top papers?
Top rolling papers.
Oh, okay. Rolling papers. Yeah,
so
yeah.
So I thought that would be the perfect thing to be sitting on that table.
That's so hilarious.
We, you know, we just thought it was so funny. So I took a... And I just kind of practiced leaning over the edge because I thought beepers might go off or something. And I just let go of that pack of tops, and the pack of papers landed right on the brass table.
Perfectly.
In the middle of the open. So I don't know how long
so
it lasted.
So now it was added to the exhibit. You were like curating museums before. Like, you were doing a job that was probably someone's job to do.
It probably lasted 24 hours, but we were all proud of it. It was pretty cool.
What museum was that?
The Cincinnati Art Museum.
How old were you?
Probably 15, 16.
Scamping around art museums? Like, so you went to the art museum with your friends just to hang out, and then you saw that, and you were like, that's a joke that needs to happen. And then you went, you returned to the art museum.
Yeah.
Was it a free museum, or did you pay to go prank?
It was free in those days. I think it was free. It's a great art museum. It's in Eden Park. Beautiful place. For you Cincinnatians.
Yeah, no, I don't know that Cincinnatians are listening, but you do reach out to them a lot, or you get so excited when someone's from Cincinnati. Don't you think that maybe there are some assholes from Cincinnati? My dad loves Cincinnati so much that anyone from there is probably one of the coolest people you've ever met, according to him. But aren't there some assholes in Cincinnati?
Never, no.
Not a one.
No, I meet people that say they're from, like at airports, they'll say, I'm from Cincinnati, we're casual conversation, and they say, you know, I say, where are you from? I get excited about it, and they say they live in, you know, Westchester, which is, you know, a suburb way north. I'm like, you don't live in Cincinnati. I hate to burst your bubble.
But anyway. What are you supposed to say? It's close enough. They have some references.
Say that, but, you know.
Yeah, it just isn't the same. Yeah, when people say St. Louis and they go, yeah, I'm in like O'Fallon, and I'm just like, I don't know anything about where you're from, and I know you might know about mine, but you don't really. I love it, and I get excited when people are from there. And most of the people you do meet from there are pretty damn cool. But you love Cincinnati. Yeah, I'm surprised there's not more Cincinnati type things around this house.
I know.
Are there? Why don't you have any signs that it's like live, laugh, Cincinnati?
I used to have a cable. Your mom just took it down last week. It was a cable thing that I did when I was in the cable. There it is.
Well,
the cable cover of a drawing of Cincinnati. That's the Cincinnati Art Museum.
Okay,
right there.
You do have a lot of Cincinnati shit now that I'm realizing it.
And there's a picture in our kitchen.
Can I ask you if I can have one of these things when you die? One of the things?
When I die.
I mean, I guess I get it all.
You can't have anything when I die.
Whatever. No. That would be so weird.
I'm taking it all with me.
Who else would get it? It'd be so weird if Lauren and I, like, didn't get your shit. Who else would you give it to?
Well, when my dad died, we were cut out of his will.
You were cut out?
Yeah.
Because you had a stepmother.
Right.
Who convinced him to?
But we were little kids. I mean, he should have left us something.
I know. What the fuck was he doing? Why didn't he?
He was.
You think she just got a hold of the papers?
It's a long story. No, no, no.
But then, do you just think that, as a kid, were you like, we don't get one, you didn't get anything of your dad's?
We sued the estate. We each got $1,000.
Oh, that's nothing. Your dad was a fucking doctor.
Yeah, but.
I guess in that time
I was like 12 years old, so I saved my $1,000. I bought a Volkswagen when I was 16.
You saved the age of 12?
Yeah, I saved it to be able to buy a car when I turned 16. So I bought a Volkswagen for $600. I think I paid $600, maybe $500 for the car.
So you, at the age of 12, already had your... I guess it took a while to sue them. So you maybe got it when you were 14?
What?
Oh, yeah, the money?
Yeah, probably when I was 14. Yeah,
okay, but then even then, you had 2 years foresight of like, when I drive, I know what I want to drive.
I just want to be able to get a car.
Yeah,
I wanted a Volkswagen, and it was 65 Volkswagen, but I don't want to bore your listeners with that. But I had a, once again, the top, Top Papers has a logo. You ever see the guy on Top Papers? The little guy smoking?
Yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about, actually.
Sticker right between, on the bumper, right between the, of that guy.
God, that guy was all over your life, your adolescence, in ways that we didn't even know.
It was very subtle.
Yeah, but you, So you didn't get, so you saved that $1,000, you bought your first car. That's really responsible at that age.
I saved. You know, I knew what I wanted. But
you've always been good with money. What do you feel about right now? Oh, sorry.
I took that car and I took it to Earl Schaub and got it painted for $29. There was a joke, one of the early roasts with Bob Hope. Bob Hope said, Lucille Ball gets her hair done at Earl Schaub's.
Oh, okay. So what is Earl Schaub's?
Earl Schaub. There's still one in St. Louis. You can get and
your paint, car painted.
I'll paint any car for $29.95. It was
the cheapest
paint job. Anyway, I sold it for $300 more than I paid for it. And then I bought an MGA.
Damn.
I bought a 61 MGA that was a classic kind of sports car. But anyway, that was fun. But anyway, my cars didn't work that well. So if you wanted to go on a long trip, you had to hitchhike. Because cars, you just
I know you're about to start a story, but we don't have time for it anymore. So it's unfortunate. We have about 3 minutes left in the podcast, and I know that you used to hitchhike, but we'll get to that story another time because we just didn't have time for it
today. I forgot it was a mini podcast.
It is a mini podcast, so we can't fit that in. But
is that why you're wearing a mini skirt?
Oh, gross. I'm not. That is such a weird image of me wearing a mini skirt as I interview. Yeah, but I'm doing everything mini. I'm wearing in Minnie Mouse ears and mini driver's cheekbones.
She's thinking about buying a Mini Cooper.
Yep. We could keep going all day on this. I mean, we could really.
You're not wearing maxi pads.
What? Yeah, because they're mini. They got to be mini.
Well, yeah, they have to be. But, they do have those. I don't know how to tell this joke, but do you ever hear about the housing that Missouri has for small people? It's absolutely, they have this, housing for small people that don't have much money.
And it's little people?
Yeah, subsidized housing, and they're called Stay Free Mini Pads. That's an old joke.
Oh my God. Really? Sorry. You had me believing that there were subsidized housing. And I knew you were full of shit as you were saying. I was like, this seems like it's full of shit. It seems like a joke. But you really seemed intent on, I really wanted to believe you, much like I wanted to believe that there was a Santa Claus, which you lied to me about for so freaking long.
So sorry about that.
Yeah, you'd do it again, though. I know you would, because you're doing it to Arlo. You're doing it to our nephew. Yeah.
Yeah, he saw you. The Easter Bunny yesterday, we were talking about it with him.
The Easter Bunny is one of the most ridiculous things I ever believed in. And it just makes me, that a kid thinks a gigantic bunny is coming in. I thought it was gigantic. What do other kids think? It's a small rabbit-sized rabbit.
It was gigantic too. My dad just tells us he was. My dad was a hunter. He said, "I'm going to shoot that rabbit when he comes in the yard."
God, Dad.
We knew he was kidding.
Oh, you did. You just thought it was funny. Yeah. Oh, okay. I would have been disturbed. Yeah, but he should have. If a bunny is intruding, a gigantic rabbit is intruding into your house. And why? And I pointed out before, but why does the rabbit always have to leave such a mess?
In our house?
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's everyone, because that's the only way to be like, a rabbit has been here is to like traipse in mud.
Well, we used to take carrots
and just throw them around.
With the green stems still on them and just bite out of them and leave them on the floor.
I'm like, this bunny trashed my mom's kitchen. And why is she not pissed like she normally would be if this happened?
Oh, good. Those were the days.
Those were fun.
My dad used to always say something stupid, but Easter time is the time for eggs, and the time for eggs is the Easter time. And he used to say that all the time.
Yeah, and I grew up hearing that, and I thought it was something that everyone knew.
But I was watching Pee Wee Herman, the king of cartoons.
Yeah.
Where they would show cartoons from the 30s or 20s. And I was watching that one time, and they had a cartoon that was definitely from the late 20s. And some guy was going, Easter time is the time for eggs.
And the time for eggs is Easter time.
So my dad must have gotten that from the Saturday matinee, at the theater.
Yeah, that's so weird to see. Your
funny.
Dad was watching cartoons in the 20s. And then he would leave you nothing in his will 40 years later. He was such an innocent, precocious kid. And one day, does it ever freak you out that your dad was an eye surgeon? Like, did it ever gross you out to be like, Dad's cutting up eyes?
Well, he taught me the family business.
No, he did.
If I take a lot of my friends have cataracts now, and I say, hey, lay it on the kitchen table. I'll take care of it. No.
Did you ever feel pressure to maybe get
it? No, my dad used to always take my hands and hold them up and go, these are the hands of an eye surgeon. And when I was a little kid, and I used to look at my hands and go like, I don't think I'm seeing that really. I never told him that. But when he died, I must say, I was a little relief. I was like, whew, I don't have to be an eye surgeon.
Oh my God, yes.
He kept telling me, he died in seventh grade, but he kept telling me in eighth grade that when you get to eighth grade, you can come watch me perform surgery. And I was like, okay. I wasn't really looking forward to it.
Oh, my God. So he died, and you're like, just in the nick of time.
Of course, I was devastated when he passed away, but,
yeah, but there's
in the back of my mind, I was like, at least I'm off the hook for that one.
Wow, that's actually a really brave thing to admit. But we all have those feelings. Like, this whole corona thing, like, there's a part of you that's like, kind of like in this break right now. Like, there's a part of you that feels guilty for kind of being okay with it.
Yeah, well, the federal government probably feels okay with it because, you know, people always talk about, is Social Security going to be flush? And now with all these old people dying, Social Security would be great for generations to come.
Oh, that's an interesting take to leave with our listeners today.
We don't want to leave you on that
note. No, I liked it. I liked it. Like, ponder on that. Think of maybe if this is, yeah, that's interesting. There's a lot of those theories coming up, and I'm interested in every one of them. That's what Britney Spears says when she wants to sound smart. There's a lot of theories about this thing, and I'm very interested in them. And you're like, oh, that's what she thinks smart people sound like. And I literally just said that. Dad, thank you so much for being on the mini pod today.
My
talking
pleasure.
To me about mini pads.
I'm looking forward to the maxi pod.
Oh my god. Yeah, you'll be on that at some point too. Thanks for listening, you guys.
Thanks,
we'll
everybody.
See you tomorrow on the Daily Pod. Squirt squirt jam, mate.
This has been a Comedy Central podcast.